Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And Ben is off this week, again. You know, we're going to have a talking to with that guy.
We're shaming him. Shame.
So this week, though, in his place, we have a very special guest with us.
Hello. It's me, special guest.
She didn't let me introduce her yet.
Hi.
She needs no introduction.
Do I not?
So for those who are regular listeners, you know that we have a new feature that we started. We originally were calling it Comics on Comics. However, we were informed there's actually a podcast called Comics on Comics.
By several burly lawyers.
Yes. With baseball bats.
Not for long, there won't be.
Who wanted to talk to us about our personalities, starting with our legs.
So for those who follow our Twitter feed, know that usually once a day we tweet out a joke with the hashtag Funny Speak. So that's what we're going to call this now, Funny Speak, where we have a comedian on who will talk to us about their career and their life and their love of all things nerdy. So,
I thought you were going to stop at love. And I was like, oh, we don't talk about that at all.
So this week we have... with us, and she's, you know, really pushed this intro, so everyone welcome Maggie Mayfish.
Hello, everybody. It's anticipation. You gotta keep them waiting for a couple minutes.
Is it nervous nice. Chatter?
Is it... That would be yes, no.
Okay. All right. Before we get into your comedy and your career, we're going to do our Geek of the Week. So last week's question was, Ben had proposed this question, being that we were both big Smallville fans when it was on. Mm. And in the episode, I lost you already, huh? In the episode where they had the Justice League, or the proto-Justice League, the question were, who were the members, which superheroes were used in the episode, and what were their alter egos? So what were their code names and what were their alter egos? Cause, Ben thought we were going to trick people with this one. So actually Nathan, Withrow got the answer this week on Facebook. And so it was Oliver Queen, Green Arrow. We all know that he was on the show quite often. Arthur Curry, Aquaman, Victor Stone, Cyborg, and he thought we were going to trip people up with Bart Allen, Impulse, instead of Flash, they used Impulse, and Clark Kent, and they called him the Boy Scout, you know, because he wasn't Superman yet.
Yep.
Right. That's an apt name, either way. He's pretty much the Boy Scout of America.
This is true.
It sounds better than the Blur, so.
It does.
I remember they used to call him the Red Blue Blur.
Yeah, that I never got that. Like, just call it the Blur. Adding the color was just like made it get confusing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was. I just clicked off my page where I had. 1 second. Oh,
did we lose the question? Do I get to ask one?
No.
Yes, go.
You don't want him to ask questions.
Yeah, remember we were talking about that one thing that happened that time? Yeah, well, that was part of.
Here we are.
I'm not allowed to ask questions anymore.
No, he's not.
Apparently.
So this week's question. Okay, this is a good one. This was Ben came up with this one again. This one is a good one though.
Even though it came from Ben, go figure.
I like Ben.
Who is the only actor to play two roles in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And I know what everyone's thinking. They're thinking Chris Evans, but no, we're not counting Chris Evans because Fantastic Four is owned by Fox. They're not part of Marvel. But there is an actor who has played two roles in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So who was that actor and what were the roles? So that's the question for the week. So good luck. If you know the answer, tweet at us with hashtag StumpTheGeekSpeak or put it on our Facebook page and we'll pick a winner next week. So anyway, now that that's out of the way.
Good questions, Ben. Keep it going. That's...
Yeah. Yes.
Technically, his beard is the one that comes up with the question.
Yes, yes.
Thinking beard.
He's our beard of knowledge. So, Maggie.
Yes, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So I noticed you, I mean, you started following us on Facebook, and then I started following you back, and I noticed... right away that you do seem to have a love of comic books and related things.
I do.
And then I started watching some of your videos online with, I guess, is it a, would you call it a sketch comedy group? Snickerdoodling?
Yeah, it's me and Amelia Barash. She's my sketch writing partner. And yeah, we started doing it in Chicago when we lived out there. And we performed at I.O. and Second City and across there. And then we both moved out to L.A. I've been here since October. So yeah, we're doing it out here ever since. So yeah.
So you're not being a comedian and not being from Chicago.
Not intentionally.
Yeah. Don't be modest. Literally anyone can be a comedian if they just say the things in their heads out loud.
Is that how it works?
Maybe not ask me.
So I'm always curious though, what is the scene really like in Chicago?
Yeah, well, in Chicago, it's very, I would say it's really supportive. Yeah, I feel like it was a great place because I went to Northwestern. I went to college there, and I felt like it was a great place to like experiment and like go out because they say like the audiences in Chicago, it's all other comics. So if you mess up, you know, it's not that big of a deal because they're messing up too, and it's fine. And I guess like the stereotype is like out in LA, the audiences are full of people that, you know, somewhat matter in the world. So if you mess up, you know, you get a little more judged for it. But it's like, you know, in both places, you can find really supportive communities. But yeah, it's really fun. It's a lot colder in Chicago, so that makes that suck. And it's a lot warmer out here. So, hey.
So, are you originally from Chicago or California or?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. From like a coastal town, has like a 1,000 people population. So, yeah. My friends joke I keep moving to bigger and bigger cities in search of civilization, and we're on our way. I might move to Tokyo next. We'll see.
Or New York.
Oh, New York. Yeah, that too. Somewhere where I can find some contacts.
Well, what made you get into comedy? I mean, did you just start telling jokes when you were young, or is this another one of those stories where you know, picked on in school and you used comedy to deflect it, or?
Yeah, I guess I would say that. Yeah, I don't know. I always loved like performing. I did like theater from like a young age, and I felt like. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was picked on in middle school. I had every stereotypical thing, braces, glasses, you name it, I had it. And again, like I loved like comic books, I played video games. That used to not be cool. Now it's cool, but it used to not be. So yeah, I use comedy like as a deflection. Also growing up in a small town, you know, I kind of used comedy as a way to like be different than everyone else. And yeah, it just became something that I loved doing and was comfortable with. And yeah, so I just continued to do it, you know, as I got older.
Is so how do you, you know, again, not being someone who's done this, that transition from, you know, again, being the nerd, using it for deflection and making people laugh, and then taking that step onto stage. And doing it in front of an audience, How do you get the courage to do something like that?
Whew. Oh my gosh. Well, I will say when I do stand up, I feel like I'm sweating from the moment I wake up in the morning till the show starts. My hands are all clammy all day long. I'm thinking, why did I sign up to do this? But yeah, I think for me, I started doing a lot of improv in Chicago, which I feel like for me, it was a great way to kind of get into comedy. Just because it feels like very low stakes. You're part of a team. There's a lot of teamwork that, is involved in that, format. So that's like, it's really fun to go out with a group of people that you really trust and end up creating a show that, you know, not only makes you laugh, but makes an entire room laugh. And I felt like that was a great way to, have like reassurance, of myself, in my artistic sensibilities. And then from that, you know, move on to like writing sketch and, doing stand up. But yeah, I will say stand up is still horrifying. No matter how many times I do it, I feel like I'm going to the electric chair 50% of the time.
Well, we don't want that now. It's funny though, how you, equate sketch to being more comfortable because there's a group of people as opposed to being by yourself. But right. Yet, one of the podcasts I listen to, The Nerdist, Chris Hardwick is the complete opposite, where he's like, he doesn't like sketch because he feels you're dependent on other people to be funny.
Yeah, it's actually funny. So my writing partner, who we write all the sketches together, she's very much that mindset as well. I'm like, she loves stand up comedy. She's fantastic at it too. And yeah, that is that's completely her mentality. She's like, I just find it so hard to trust anybody. If it's me and my own words on stage, then I'm completely fine. But yeah, I guess for me, I grew up doing like a lot of sports and stuff. So I kind of like that idea of like, of teamwork and building off one another. So for me, it's like somewhat of a comfort, but I completely understand the other way around too. It can go either way.
Yeah, no, it's funny. The only thing I can liken it to in my own life is, in a former life anyway, I was a musician and, played drums in a lot of different bands. And it's finding that group that you click with, you know, and that you can get along with long enough in a room that you're not going to kill each other. I imagine that, you know, it's a lot like that, especially when you have a writing partner.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that'll you know, make or break it for you, if you, you know, end up loving it or doing it. There's if you talk to anyone, especially in Chicago, there's so many like independent like teams that, you know, after a year will just like fall apart because people want to kill each other in the middle of the night instead of do comedy. So, you know.
Well, yeah, that's you know, killing each other or comedy, it's a very difficult choice, I think.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand more often than I think people like to acknowledge.
So when you were growing up, who were some of your comedic influences?
That's a great question. I actually used to watch, my mom loved Carol Burnett. So, So growing up, she was my idol and still is to this day. I think she's brilliant in that the way that she acts, on her show when she performs, it's still very, it's like a person you want to hang out with. But she's also like super strong and direct with her comedy. And yeah, I grew up watching her and yeah, I still recommend it anytime anyone asks me, who they should keep an eye out. I was like, well, look up some Carol Burnett, take a look at what she did already.
Yeah. If you go back to the old show, it's still funny, even right. These days, because it was more, it wasn't topical. It was just funny. You know?
Right. Exactly. And I think that's what I really admire about her. It's like the mechanics of what she wrote and her show. That's what's funny. You know, it doesn't have to be like, yeah, exactly, like topical humor or something, but literally to the core, it's funny. I love it.
Yeah. So do you find it, you know, difficult to be a female comedian in the, you know, in today's world? Cause I always hear that. I don't know how true that is.
Right. Yeah. Actually. Yeah. I get that question a lot. And I think for me, it doesn't make anything more, difficult. I feel like no matter, if I was a guy or a girl, I'm still gonna make jokes about video games and Harry Potter, which is like
Right.
mostly what my sets are about. But yeah, I mean, there has been times where, bookers have, like tried to like ask me out afterwards and stuff. And I feel like, if you're a girl, just feel free to just 100% say no to whenever that comes down the road. Like, it's not gonna kill your career. It's not gonna do anything. Saying no, I never want to go out with you. But if you want to book me again because I did great, then go ahead.
Right.
They may be sore for a few days, but yeah. Besides that, I really there is very little difference. Besides, I guess there is like somewhat of a prejudice. When you step on stage, I feel like sometimes the audience has like a preconceived notion about what you're going to talk about. Yeah, because I don't think people would expect me to, talk about like Nintendo video games for half my set. But then, that's just subverting their expectations, and it's, then that's a pro as well.
And comedy is all about what's unexpected, so that gives you
Right.
an edge, probably.
Exactly. So yeah, I would never say it's been a disadvantage. Besides, the bumps here and there, and I'm sure everyone's experience is different. I know there are some female comedians that it's much more prevalent. What they've experienced in their careers, but yeah, for me, I feel like I've been lucky in that department, which is nice.
No, and it's true, because I do think, and no offense to, female comedians at all, but unless there's something about them that's different, such as you're talking about nerd stuff, a lot of times they end up, and there's a lot of guy comedians that are guilty of this too, but the same kind of like, oh, how stupid men are, And you hear
Right,
the
yeah.
same jokes over and over again,
Yeah,
so
well, yeah, I feel like it's mostly because when people like look at a lineup of stand-up comedians, they'll look at the women and put them in a separate category, whereas for the men, they won't necessarily, oh, those are all men comedians. They'll wonder, oh, I wonder what he talks about. I wonder what he talks about. And then they'll look at the women comedians and be like, oh, those are women comedians.
Right.
So yeah, in that regard, it's same with like an ethnic like background, or it's the same kind of thing, kind of categorizing people before you hear what they have to talk about. I feel like for men comedians, that happens less often. So yeah.
And you, besides doing stand up, you've obviously you have the snickerdoodling stuff online. You've done some acting. So is that so like some of the things you've been on? I'm gonna bring up your IMDb page. How's that?
There it is.
So let's see, Sandcastles,
Yes.
Candace, the video short. The one that was the one I had a question about, Driver's Ed, was a TV pilot. I assume it wasn't picked up, or
Oh yeah, that I did that a long time ago, back when I was still
okay.
yeah.
And then the other one was Opportunity Jones. It was a TV movie that I haven't heard of, but apparently it was on the USA Network.
Opportunity. What was that?
Oh yeah, that I did a while ago too. Yeah, I was in that one. Oh, I'm gonna say like 4 or 5 years ago.
It says,
Yeah,
yeah,
that was before.
2010.
Right, yeah, that was before. Yeah, that was before I like went to school or anything. That's crazy. That's
Oh,
from the
okay.
past. Yeah, crazy.
And
But
yes, she played Joan's attractive assistant.
yeah,
That's what the credit says.
I had a couple of quick one-liners besides that. Yeah, but yeah, actually, yeah, the latest one, Sandcastles, that's been doing incredibly well. It's actually a drama, so it's weird. I get cast in a lot of like independent dramatic films. But yeah, it's that one's been doing fantastic. It's won tons of awards here in the US and abroad. So it's been really fun going to like film premieres and stuff for that. But yeah,
Yeah,
how are you
that's
doing?
you do see that. I mean, you're obviously still at the start of your career, but you do see comedic actors take on serious roles. Do you like doing dramatic roles, or do you prefer sticking with comedy?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I feel like acting is one of the things that, you know, I want to pursue. And yeah, being able to do both, I think is such a plus. And yeah, I really like doing dramatic roles. I, you know, and I'll take what I get cast in. So
oh, okay. Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll pay my bills. That's good. No.
Do you have a dream role in mind at this point?
Oh boy, a dream role. I mean, is the geek in me. I did hear a rumor that they are that the director of Guardians of the Galaxy might do a Squirrel Girl film, and I'm just saying, Squirrel Girl, role of a lifetime, if I may say so myself.
you know, she's actually considered like one of, if not the most powerful character in the Marvel universe.
Right? Yeah, I know. I haven't read her in a physical comic, which is crazy that I haven't like come across her in anything. But as soon as I read that, I went to our comic store and I picked up a couple. So
yeah, she beat Thanos single handedly in a story.
That's awesome.
So see, they need Squirrel Girl for when they go fight Thanos. Infinity Gauntlet, you know?
They need her.
The funny thing is you're hearing about her more and more because she's like appearing in the cartoons, she's appearing in the comics, just popping in and out. So like maybe they're teasing or something. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I mean there's talks and stuff, but I mean in Hollywood that means nothing, really. Everyone's in talks to do everything. So
yeah, Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, but. Right. 3 and then 3.5, I guess.
Well, they did announce that, right? That what was it? Not only are they doing the all female Ghostbusters, they are actually like rebooting the series, and they're doing a whole spin-off thing.
They're doing a Ghostbusters cinematic universe.
Yes.
Which is so strange. I feel like that is such a strange, because I feel like the original movies have become somewhat, you know, like cultish. So to kind of blow it out of proportion and make it into a whole, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of going against their like fan base. I don't know. It feels weird.
I think it's sad that they're doing it before DC.
I do kind of think like the original Ghostbusters was a product of its time. Like it worked because it was something that hadn't been done before, you know.
It worked because it had Hal Ramis and you know, the other two in there.
Right. But I'm saying it was a sci-fi comedy that really hadn't been done well before. It had all the right actors and writers on for the movie, and it came out, I think, at the right time. You know, now here we are 30 years later, we're going to try to recapture the magic and build a whole universe around it. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's a very weird choice. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know. It will definitely make money, though. So
yeah, that's true.
That's probably what they're thinking.
At least the first one in all of the different, like the all female one will make money, and then the rebooted one based on the original will make money, and then then we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, the 3D version.
And then the reboot, like 2 years later. what are your geek creds? What do you like? I mean, are you Marvel, DC?
Great question. Yeah, I'm definitely, I don't want to pick a side, but it's Marvel, so so I will, and I did. No, I love Marvel. I do, however, I actually wrote an article about this for Geek Insider a while back, but I did have a resurgence of love for Wonder Woman. For a long time, I did not like her at all as a superhero. I kind of like distanced myself and that's another reason why I wasn't that much into DC, because I was like, oh, that's the only woman superhero you have. But no, lately I actually read a ton of her comics and I kind of got back into her. So yeah, Marvel, Wonder Woman. I feel like that's my go-to.
So my first question then, related to Wonder Woman, have you seen the pictures of the new costume? And what do you think?
Oh, this for for the new for the DC film coming out.
No, not for the film. In the comics, they changed her costume again.
Oh, yes, they did. I have seen it. And yeah, I think right on. Yeah, I dig it.
The giant gauntlets with the spikes coming out of them, I don't know if I dig that.
Right. Well, I feel like it's gonna change again so soon.
Right.
I kind of like when they do new spins on things because they're always gonna eventually reset back to a common ground.
Yes. We actually have had a few people on this podcast like that work at Marvel, and one of the guests he basically said, you have to think about it this way. At this point, they're all properties. And they know at Marvel and at DC, they know that the base property is what people know and it's what makes money. So they're going to play with it as much as they want, but they're always going to reset it back to what the original was.
Exactly. That's like when they released, that Thor was going to be, a
A
woman for like
woman,
a certain
yeah.
amount of time, and people freaked out. It's like it's going to be okay. They're going to go back to, it's just it's not forever. It's for a little while, then they're going to go
Yeah.
back.
Peter Parker died. Oh, he's everybody knew he was coming.
Right. Yeah,
You know?
exactly. Same
And
thing.
we'll see Wolverine in a year or two, I'm sure.
Right.
Right.
Well, that
I
was
actually read
the Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say I actually read an interesting article. I forgot where I found it, but it talked about the first time that Superman was killed in the comic book world and how that kind of shook up the idea of that, hey, we could do anything to our superheroes and bring them back, and it's not going to be an end all be all. And I think that's, yeah, it's kind of fun to play with. And now, so many years later, they do it all the time. So,
Right.
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because shortly after that, they broke Batman's back.
Right.
And then Marvel did the Clone Saga for Spider-Man. We won't get into that.
It's kind of sad because all they need is a good writing team to not have to do that. I mean, there's got to be hundreds of other stories people could tell, but they always go back to the, well, I'm out of ideas. What do we do? Let's kill him.
Yeah. Let's kill him.
And the
Please
sad
kill
thing is,
him.
everybody in the room doesn't immediately throw things at that person. They're like, oh yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
What he died, what, 2 years ago? Okay, it's about time he died again. Sure.
Exactly.
That's how you work, right? When you're in the writing room and in the writer's room, and you guys are coming up with your sketches, and it's like, we've used this character too many times. Oh, let's kill him. And then we'll bring him back a week later, right?
So what is your writing process? I mean, where do you come up with the ideas? And
That's a great question. Yeah, so our writing process, actually a lot of it starts, sometimes it starts from like a tweet that will just pop into my head, and later it'll form into an idea for a funny character or situation. Or yeah, sometimes it just talks or comes from us just hanging out and talking. I know it sounds super lame. Like it should be something way more epic. Yeah, one time I saved the universe and I came home and I thought it would make the funny story. But no, it's a lot of small things like that. I pull a lot of things from like people in my life, like certain characters I'll do. There was one sketch I did that was it sounds so dumb, but it was a guy who was frozen in time in 1996, and now he's at a bar trying to pick up chicks, and he only references from like 90s pickup lines. And that was from my dad, who was one day he was like cooking in the kitchen and just started doing 90s versions of pickup lines.
Oh,
So
jeez.
I know my dad is the coolest.
There's a skit of that on your website, right?
Right, yeah, that
Yes,
one is, yeah.
so that
So yeah, and it's great because sketch can be super quick. So if it's a very like small idea, you can format something to fit that, just like a very small blip. But yeah, it comes from people and situations that I come across. I also have a very I wouldn't say like cynical, but maybe I'll say cynical. Yeah, I see things very cynically. So, a lot of comedy comes from just seeing the dumb things that people do every day, myself included, and turning that into something funny. Yeah.
Well, if it works for Jon Stewart, then
Yeah. Oh boy, I do love it.
I found it interesting that you had referenced sometimes an idea comes from Twitter, and it just shows you what a different world we live in.
It's so weird. I remember it, maybe only like a year ago, I like refused to get a Twitter. I was like, this makes absolutely no sense. Why would anyone even like, I don't want to read people's minute thoughts. Like people don't want to read my minute thoughts. And then I got one and then I became a hypocrite and I started using it. I guess for me, it's like a fun way to catalog because otherwise I will forget like 90% of the things that like, that happen in my brain. So I guess it's a fun way to keep that up and to connect to people too.
Right.
It's so weird. It's so strange. Yeah.
I mean, I think it would, I mean, I don't know, but I would think it's a comedian can put a kernel of an idea out there, and if they get reaction to it, then like, oh, okay, this is something we can use, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like an immediate feedback from, yeah,
Right.
people who already, kind of vibe with your sense of humor. So,
Right,
yeah.
right. So I the other one from your website that I liked, and it's obviously again a sarcastic kind of look at artistic movies, The Moving the Train.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was very fun to
So the first question was, where'd the idea come from? And then how did you guys film that? Like, did you just go on a train and do it, or did you have to like schedule something with a train to do that?
Okay, that is a great question. Yeah, so yeah, the sketch is called it's called a Train.
That's right.
And it came from a I watched maybe five Godard films, which are they're French New Wave films from that director. And if you watch them, they're insane. They're about nothing. And so I watched like five of them, and I was trying to explain to Amelia about these films, about how they're about nothing, and the cameras go on for too long. And she was like, "Oh, we should make our own." So we did, and we were taking a trip to DC. This is when we were in Chicago at the time,
Okay.
and we were taking a train ride to DC. And we thought, well, this would be perfect. We have like 7 hours of absolutely nothing to do. So we snuck on our film camera and yeah, we just filmed. We realized early on it was better to just film and then ask for permission later after people tell us to stop. So yeah, we filmed all of it. We had a lot of questions from passengers about what we were doing. Yeah, and it turned out that's maybe one of my favorite sketches that we did. It was really fun to edit too with the music and the nonsensical scenes. Yeah,
Yes. Oh
it
yeah. No, it's yes.
was
And I just, because again, I was watching this, like, and I'm like, wait, they really are on a train. Like, you
really
can tell. I'm like, wait a minute, how did they do this? So okay,
fun.
so it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Is that
Yeah.
the lesson
Beg
here?
for beg for give it. Yeah, beg for forgiveness, then ask for permission. Yeah. It's
Absolutely.
So you had mentioned Harry Potter, I think, at the top of the interview.
Oh no.
I did.
So have you read the books? Are you a fan of the movies? Both?
Yes, I read the books growing up as many kids my age have. Yes, I read them growing up. I was a huge Potterhead. I feel like one of the crowning moments of my childhood was when MuggleNet, which was they did a podcast back in the day. They used to talk about Harry Potter and the films, and I think they're still going actually. But when I was 13, I think they read one of my letters on their podcast, and I was like,
Oh,
"Oh, this is
nice.
the best day of my life." Yeah,
Yeah.
so
I just
yeah.
remember, like, I was probably a little too old to be into the books. My daughter
Right.
and my niece read the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, like, when I want to say it was Goblet of Fire, came, it was either Goblet of Fire or Prisoner of Azkaban. One of the two came out, and my niece got so angry because the things that were changed in the movie, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know they cut a couple characters out, so they've had to change who does things, and you know, mm-hmm. who does this, who does that. She was like right. getting angry and blah blah. I'm like, and I'm sitting down and I'm like explaining, you know, but it's just the way it is, you know. Like you have to, right. you know, they mm-hmm. have to make it work in a 2-hour movie. You know, blah, blah. It's not stupid. It's just the way it is. And then my wife turns to me and goes, yeah. And when we were watching the two towers and the elves show up to save the humans, yeah. you yelled at the screen no. for 5 minutes. I'm like, okay.
Okay. I guess.
So, yeah, we all go through that, I think.
Right. I would argue though that like I feel like there's more weight to messing up the Lord of the Rings than there is with Harry Potter. Because Harry Potter it was still very young and I think there was an understanding that like, okay, this is like Hollywood's take on it, but like Lord of the Rings, like do not touch that with a with oh, a 10-foot pole in the wrong way. Otherwise, God forbid.
Yes. No, but I think took away from that was, you know, her generation's Lord of the Rings, you know,
yeah,
in that way, you know, because she yeah. didn't read the, I'm pretty sure she didn't read Lord of the Rings when she was little. I know she's read them since she got older.
Right. That's actually, speaking of when I was a kid and a nerd, I remember this the other day because I was starting to write a bit about it, but I remember going to one of my first sleepovers to this like really cool, her name is Kristen. She was like the coolest kid in my class. And I brought my book of The Hobbit to like read when all the other kids were going to bed. It wasn't cool. They like found it. They're like, what's this? And I tried to explain to her the story of The Hobbit and they just weren't understanding how important it was. So.
Oh, elves, come on, that's lame.
I know. They didn't get it.
Yes, you know how many millions and billions of dollars elves have made on the big screen.
This is true.
You've been totally vindicated.
So true, so true.
Yeah, and I have to back up. You said when you were little and a nerd, so you don't consider yourself a nerd anymore?
No. Well, it's weird. I feel like I read so or. A lot of people have been talking about this, how like nerd culture has become like the mainstream with, you know, with Marvel and everything. So, I mean, I guess I still am, but it's not viewed in such a negative light anymore. So,
right, right.
Yeah. No, so it's like I'm getting less repercussions for being the same person, which is,
yeah.
No.
Unless you've lived through Howard the Duck and had to love that because that was nerd culture at a time. Unless you had to live through that, you're not a real, you're not, it's not nerd culture.
Right. Just, yeah, right. You
know. It's like so talking about paying your dues.
Well, that's actually something that, you know, I think about a lot more and more, you know, because a kid who grew up in the 80s, and if you liked Lord of the Rings and, you know, those kinds of things and comic books, yeah, you know, you were an outcast. But that's the whole thing is that you liked those things because you were an outcast, because you,
right,
you know, yeah. you didn't have friends, so you turned to books, you know, mm-hmm. and science fiction and whatever, and they became your friends. Whereas now, because it's become pop culture, there's a lot of people who are like, oh yeah, I like Batman, I must be a nerd because they saw the Batman movie. You know, and it's
right,
like,
exactly.
No, yeah. You don't understand what that word means.
Right. Or, I saw a girl on Instagram the other day and she had glasses on and but she looked gorgeous and she was like, hashtag nerd. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you are not a hashtag nerd.
Well, there's hashtag nerd. There's an idea for about 50 skits for you right there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is so strange to see the evolution of that. And I feel like sometimes someone like my age is a little bit caught in the middle because, yeah, they grew up very much clinging to that, like, niche and using that as a way to, you know, yeah, like, have friends or feel like they belong somewhere. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at an age where all the things that I like, it's suddenly, like, super cool that, you know, I play Smash Bros. And whatever. And, yeah, so it's very strange because inside you're still the nerd kid no matter what. It's mainstream and cool.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny. One of the recent guests we just had on, Kyle Stevens from Kirby Crackle, he was talking about that and just how like their new album that just came out. Free plug for you there, Kyle. Mutate Baby, which everyone should get. It's in stores now. Everyone should go pick it up. That was the theme of the album, is that, you get to the point where it becomes so popular, then it becomes niche, and then it's going to fade again because the next generation's going to come up and they're going to be like, ah,
They'll be sick of
superhero
it.
stuff,
Right.
So it's like, well, what do you do from, what do you do from that point on? And it's a good question. Like, do we just go back to being nerds, or,
Right, yeah. Go back to our caves.
yes, go back to our caves and our hovels, our hobbit holes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's we'll see. I think we got a little while yet. Soon the first Marvel has their first flop, then we'll need to worry at that point.
Right, which I feel it's going to happen. I know we have a lot of faith in them now, but just looking at their plan, it's gonna saturate itself. People are gonna get tired of
They
it.
already had their first flop. It was called Iron Man 2.
Oh
Wow.
yeah, that's right. Because I forgot that I even saw that film.
It was horrible.
No,
It was
well,
bad.
hold on. Criticizing it and it not making money are two different things, John.
That's true. That is
Well,
true.
if you're
That's
going to
true.
wait for Marvel to not make money on one of these things, you're going to wait a long, long time.
I think a lot hinges on what they do with Spider-Man now that they have him back.
Right, right. Well, a lot of people speculate that he's going to be, I feel like they're rushing to get him into one of the last moments of this next Avengers film, which would be very, very soon, so that they can do it for Civil Wars. Because in the comic book he's a central part of that film. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, there's been some casting rumors, but nothing's been confirmed yet.
Yeah,
But
I mean, it's interesting because, yeah, he's the pivotal character. He's the guy caught between Iron Man and Captain America, and
Right.
it's like, yes, but it works in that story because you have three established characters and their
Right.
relationships are already established. Now we're just throwing Spider-Man in the middle. I don't know. Part of me doesn't think they're going to tell the same exact story from the comic books.
Well, on the bright side, though, if they bring Spider-Man into it, there's going to be at least five villains that follow him into it. So they'll have plenty to do. They'll have plenty to do during the movie. I mean,
We won't be bored at least.
yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's also strange that they're doing another young Peter Parker. I feel like this is an opportunity to do, like an older Spider-Man or, a different someone else taking up the mask. But now they're doing the same young Peter Parker high school kid who's gonna be like, oh my God, I've seen this so many times already.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would have voted to at least keep Andrew Garfield, keep an established character in the role, and that way we don't feel like we're being rebooted again. We don't feel like we're getting another or we're not getting another origin story, but at the same time, they're gonna somehow tell it in flashbacks here and there. Yeah, and it's not needed. Like, again, why a young Peter Parker in high school age,
And Garfield was still young enough to do a good young-ish, Peter Parker. He did a good job, I thought.
Yeah, I think he actually wanted to leave the series. I think that was the like underlying
What, did they show him
reason.
the set with all of the super suits in it and he didn't want to be there when that
Like, oh, maybe not. Maybe
down?
I don't want to do this.
What do you mean I can't use a stunt double? I guess too, because I grew up in the era where he was and read a lot of books when he was married to Mary Jane, like when he was dating her and then when they got married. So to me, it's weird that they're not pursuing the adult Peter Parker,
Hey, which is what I w that was my initial thought when I heard that they, had gotten the rights. We're gonna add him. It's like, oh, great! Like we get to see him, like later on in his life. And there's so much, there's so many comic books that, speak to that, section of his life, and we haven't seen any of that yet. And we just won't ever, I
Yes.
guess,
Well,
because.
plus with the if he does take part in the Civil War thing in any aspect of what he should, he needs that gravitas of experience to be able to do that part. And if they're going to just do a real youngish high school kid, how does he handle his part in Civil War with, you know, I'm just a little kid, you know.
Right, exactly. Like, everyone else on the team is going to immediately disregard whatever he has to say because
exactly.
In math class.
I mean, in math class.
Listen to me there.
I think we should hold on. I'm late for my civics class. And it's just, it doesn't work.
So, and along with that, we also have, you know, our proto Justice League movie coming out next year. What do you think of Batfleck?
Oh, God. Actually, when they first announced this idea, I hated it so much, and I still don't like it at all. I don't know. I feel like, so if you watch, like, the animated cartoon Justice League happening right now, it's actually really good. They have great dynamics, but it's infused with a lot of humor because it's for, you know, it's for younger kids, and but it's actually really good. Like, I watch it and I enjoy it a lot, but stripping away that humor, you just got like two guys with their underpants on the outside of their outfits fighting. It's just weird. It's so weird without that dash of cynicism. It's gonna, I don't know how I feel about it. Well, I do. I'm not gonna like it.
No.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, John. You're the DC guy.
Do I have to go?
Please. I want to know.
If they played it like they did with the he-she, that how it should have ended, that they did for the trailer, that then it would be cool. But yeah, I think it's really sad to see the Marvel guys say, hey, you know what? We want to do some movies. Hey, you guys have been writing comics for all your lives and really love this stuff and really care about the characters. You go and do it. And DC say, hey, we want to do some movies. You executives, figure out what we're going to do and make sure it's market tested before we put it to screen. It's like, oh, yeah. God.
Exactly. And that's what I feel like, you know, I'm just like a cog in one of their machines when I go see like a DC film, because obviously they were like, if we put two superheroes in the title of this film, twice as many people will come.
Yeah.
Yes.
Feels duped. I'm still going to see it, obviously. I'm still going to go.
The focus group really liked it, so.
Yeah.
Namely my nephew, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's what and it's so funny because, like, all of the diehard DC fans online, no offense, guys.
None taken.
They, you know, of course, and this was all started, I think, by Kevin Smith. It's like, he was like, oh, they're going to have Batman and Superman. And it's going to be the first superhero movie to make $1 billion. And it's like, okay, but the Avengers had five superheroes in it. That didn't make $1 billion. And, you know, then it becomes, oh, okay, you're saying that. Now here comes Civil War, where we've got Iron Man, Cap, and Spider-Man now.
Spider-Man. Right. They pull that out. Yeah.
So is that going to make $5 billion? I mean, seriously. The movies are going to make what they're going to make. You know, just because it's got those two characters in it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a huge success. Because if it's a bad movie, it's a bad movie.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, though. If this new focus on movies by DC actually winds up with giving us a Wonder Woman movie, then it does, no matter what the destruction that lays around, that at least we will have had a Wonder Woman movie after like what, 30 years.
Right. You know? That is so true. Yeah. That's the article I wrote for Geek Insider kind of spoke to that. But I completely agree. Like no matter what horrific things happen in this film that we're all gonna go see, at least that will come out of the destruction, a Wonder Woman movie. And whether that movie is good or bad, I almost don't even care, because at least it will be made, and a few years from now we can improve upon it. I'm also curious to see how I forgot the actress who is gonna play her,
but Gal Gadot.
Yes, yeah. I'm curious to see how she does. I don't know. From the looks of her, she looks more supermodel than, like, you know, a superhero that's going to save our butts. But
yeah, but then Linda Carter did too, and she did fairly well. I mean, exactly. She's, like, iconic now. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you've seen pictures on her online recently of Gal Gadot, she's been bulking up, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's harder for women to get big, but she's definitely more muscular than when they announced her. So yeah, I mean, I don't see that as an issue. A lot of people, you know, have been complaining about that, but it's like, you know,
but they, But they've got to do it right. They've got to, they get like in the Bruce Timm Justice League movies and TV series, they have to show her kicking Marshall ass,
right?
You know, because that's what one, I mean, Wonder Woman is the kind of, you know, the ultimate character of Wonder Woman is the one who can go and negotiate a treaty and then walk to the next room and lay waste to all the enemies. That was the great thing about what Bruce Timm did with the character was he made her very mature, very, you know, very caring. It was a real woman character instead of just this, you know, blow up doll, which a
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to describe her, actually. That's, yeah, being able to negotiate a treaty and then go kick ass. I think that's,
Some of the older Bruce Timm movies, I mean, they did, the animation was good, but they even went so far as to do true martial arts moves and everything. And that was the point. She was, you know, she's been trained for what, 1,000 years. She should be able to kick anybody's ass, really.
Right. Yeah.
And, yeah. Hey, can you tell I've got a 13-year-old daughter that I'd like to have good role models for?
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Which, yeah, I feel like when I was young, a lot of the Wonder Woman stuff circulating then was not at all like that, which is why I think I grew up kind of being like, why does she have to be like the women, like superhero? But yeah, but as I got older, I wisened up and yeah, now I'm a super digger.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny too, because there've been a lot of different female superheroes, but I think it's the fault of Marvel and DC is they never put the other ones to the forefront. You know, like Wonder Woman was popular and always popular, but you know, like Black Widow and Miss Marvel and I can't think of another example from DC off the top of my head.
They seem like second string. Yeah.
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 Right. Mm-hmm. Like I think they should have been putting them to the forefront for years instead of, you know, now that the movies are becoming popular and people are noticing them more, like, hey, where are the female superheroes? Like, oh, okay, yeah, now let's make a Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, yeah. The role that Marvel's on, we'll get a Squirrel Girl movie before we get a Wonder Woman movie.
Hey, I'm all right with that, man.
Well, yeah, I know.
Well, here's another question I kind of have. You know, with these movies, Marvel and DC are doing something that's a little unprecedented in the fact that they have these massive plans, you know, that go for the next 5 to 6 years for both of them. And, you know, obviously they're all different projects in different stages of production. I'm sure some of them, I'm sure a lot of them don't have scripts even written yet. Some of them are probably in pre-production. Some of them are being worked on and some are coming out. And it's like especially given Warner Brothers DC's track record, like, let's just say Batman v Superman comes out and flops. You know, are they going to put the brakes on and then reboot again at that point? Or you think they'll keep going forward and come out with Suicide Squad and just kind of like keep the momentum going?
Right. I think they have to push forward, you know. I don't think they can completely backtrack on their plan, especially because both DC and Marvel have announced it so, you know, like, this is our plan.
Right, right.
It was so public that I think they kind of have to go through with it. Otherwise, it's going to seem like they recognize that it was a flop, which I don't think they're ever going to want to do. So, yeah, that is a great question and a great way to look at that. Like, if it does flop, I could see them like reworking maybe some of the later titles and kind of rearranging it to see, you know, see if they can push up another superhero instead. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was so public, they kind of, you're stuck, man.
Yeah. if they're smart, they can kill two birds with one stone and send the Suicide Squad after Batman and Superman.
Right. And just kill them. Just
Yep. Yay! Sorry, guys. Yeah. You know, there wasn't enough in the box office receipts.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm also thinking about it again with the Warner Brothers side of it, because they really are rebooting, restarting again at this point. Where, you know, I mean, let's just say this Avengers movie flops. You know, they're gonna Marvel will probably keep going at least, you know, for the next couple of years with what their plans are. But yeah, I'm just afraid that, you know, it's like Batfleck can either be the hero or the villain in this piece. You know? I mean, come on, we all saw Daredevil.
Oh my God, did we all see Daredevil? Oh,
Some of us
did
don't like to admit that we saw that.
we? Oh, okay.
Actually, I rewatched it recently and it was not as bad as I remember. I mean, Ben Affleck, I think, was actually maybe the best part about it because Jennifer Garner was awful and Colin, what's his Colin? I can't even remember his name. He was awful. So it's not too
Oh,
bad.
yeah, Firth?
Yeah, well, I
Farrell?
think it's the
No,
other
no, no,
one.
no. The guy who played Deadshot.
Right, yeah. I
Not
missed. I never miss.
Right,
That
right.
was
Bullseye, Bullseye. It's Deadshot.
Bullseye, right?
Deadshot is the DC equivalent to Bullseye. But yes.
Oh, God.
And
Oh,
he's the
man.
much cooler equivalent.
Right.
For
Well,
once.
the whole carved in the target on his head made no sense. Like,
Yeah.
he wears a mask that has it on there. Like, why he carved it in his head, it makes no sense to me, but
Yeah.
it's not my movie, I guess. So yeah, we haven't been talking about you much.
Oh no, we've been talking about very important things, you guys.
Yes, you're gonna,
So
well, we know that you're gonna play Squirrel Girl.
Right, exactly. Well, I guess
Yes.
we'll announce that here now. I'll
What if
announce my
we
squirrel
start that rumor? Do you think that
girl.
it would pick up and you could get the role?
Yeah,
Well, no,
let's do it, guys.
you mention it here, then you go onto Twitter and say, "Hey, did you hear the podcast? She said she's playing Squirrel Girl." And then on Facebook, you write, "Hey, Twitter just confirmed that she's playing Squirrel Girl." That's how it
We're
works in
doing
Hollywood now. I thought you knew this.
it.
Yeah, so you heard it here first,
Yeah.
folks. Maggie May Fish for Squirrel Girl
The
out in
rumor started here.
2023.
Oof, man, I got a long time to prepare. Gotta take a lot of field notes about
Oh
squirrels.
dear.
Colin Farrell.
That's
Colin
Sorry.
Farrell,
Yes, I
that's
had to look it up. It was bugging me.
it. Oh
But yes.
What's next for you? What are you working on? What are you planning to do?
That is a great question. So we're gonna be launching our new YouTube site, which we'll link into so you guys can check it out and subscribe. But yeah, that's gonna be great. We're gonna have weekly videos. I'm gonna have a weekly like nerd discussion section. So that'll be fun and relevant to your guys' interest. But yeah, we're gonna do that. We have a live show coming up at the Comedy Central stage out here in Los Angeles.
Cool.
So yeah, we're gonna be writing and getting ready for that. Yeah, and besides that, yeah, I just have a bunch of stand-up shows. Hopefully going on tour soon, but we'll see. Things have to slow down a little bit first before that. So, yeah. Yeah.
And I always hear this again on the Nerdist, they always talk about it. Pilot season, is that something that
Ah, yes. Oh, pilot season. Yeah, it's a little crazy. I feel like it's not as crazy as everyone likes to talk about it being.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a big chunk of time and a lot of meetings and a lot of reading and yeah. But besides that, it's not anything
Is
insane.
that yeah? Is that that? Well, this the Squirrel Girl show, right? That's you mean that's the
Oh
pilot you're working
yeah.
on,
Well,
right?
besides me being
Yeah,
Squirrel Girl. Did I mention I'm Squirrel Girl? No,
that's
I'm kidding.
the first. It'll be on Netflix, and then it'll be a movie. That's okay. All right. So actually, wow, we're actually at about an hour. So you got the new site coming out. Where else can people find you online?
So you can follow me at MaggieMayFish. Or at MaggieMayFish on Twitter. Hello. Yeah, and also you can check out my website. I'm gonna be updating that soon too, MaggieMayFish.com. Yeah, I'll have updated where you can check me out. But yeah, you can always just follow me on Twitter and talk to me. I'll probably respond. I'm usually just writing during the day, so I got time to talk to you.
Yes. I think you should cosplay Squirrel Girl and put those pictures on your website.
Oh my God, I should. That is
Yes.
a brilliant idea. I just gotta do
Yes.
it. I'll do one of my I'll do a video on YouTube as Squirrel Girl.
There
We'll
you
see how it goes.
go.
It'll be like a test. We'll test it out. We'll see how it goes.
Perfect. It needs to be a gritty reboot, though.
Right. Oh.
Like the Power Rangers?
Oh, yes, yes. Like the Power Rangers, and they had a gritty reboot for Voltron, so I want to see a gritty reboot for Squirrel Girl.
Her and her angsty years.
angsty years.
So dark. Kyle didn't text me back. Time to enact revenge.
Squirrel Army Ho.
I love it.
That's when the squirrels weren't following her and she could only get mole rats. It was
right. Naked mole rats.
Naked, yes. Right, I guess.
Of all the kinds to follow.
Very difficult. Very difficult time in her life. Yes. Yeah. The whole Netflix series is going to be based on that. You know, it'll be awesome.
It's going to be great. I'm excited.
All right. So before we wrap it up, is there anything else you'd like to, you know, share, plug?
I guess the YouTube channel is kind of the biggest thing right now. Those guys, Mags and Meals, will link it. Subscribe, you guys. It's going to be really fun. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was going to say the links to this or Twitter, all that's in the description of the episode as usual, guys. Click on it. Follow her on Twitter. She's funny. She'll make you smile.
I try. I try so hard. I hope it works.
She's a nerd like you, so come on. Show the nerd love.
I am.
How about you, John? Do you have any parting questions?
No, I'm good. I can't wait to see the Twitter, the
Squirrel Girl.
So yeah, well, that too. Yes, that. I will be waiting for that.
Yes. All right. So there you go, boys and girls. Again, follow her on Twitter. Don't forget to check her out. Squirrel Girl coming to Netflix soon. And until then, as I always say, I'm not going to say don't get your cape caught in the door this week. I'm going to say don't get your tail caught in the door this week. All right. Have a good week. Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.
Superhero Speak promo, take one. Get your promo done.
So do you read comic books? Do you enjoy comic book movies? Well, then you should be listening to Superhero Speak.
What's that, Dave?
It is a weekly podcast where we talk about comic book movies, TV shows, cartoons, and all other things comic book related.
That sounds great. Who hosts it?
Well, I host it.
Oh, I'm out.
We also have Ben. You're one of the hosts.
Oh, you lost me.
Okay. We also have John.
I'll do anything for money.
If John's there, I might show up every once in a while.
And occasionally we have Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Once in a while, when things are rough on the budget, I might step in and help out.
It's a good thing we have that padding in the budget to have him show up every once in a while.
He shows up for Oreos and orange juice. So I don't know.
Have you seen his IMDb page? He's needs the work, really.
The Headless Horseman was a hell of a role. Hell of a role.
If you want a podcast that feels like the conversations that you have in your local comic book shop, then you should check us out on superheroespeak.com, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Podcasters, I'm going to have you redo that entire promo. It wasn't working for me at all.
It was the plaid and the stripes, wasn't it?
Listen, you had an hour at Mood. I don't know what you did with your time.
Mostly slingshotting bow ties.
So, Mr. Gunn, what is your favorite comic book?
Personally, I like The Adventures of Superman because I love that costume. It's so skin tight and it's adequately designed.
Have you ever heard of the Ambiguously Gay Duo?
I have not.
I think you would enjoy them.
Oh, it sounds naughty. David, you rascal.
Oh my gosh.